People were coming and going in great numbers, so they had no opportunity even to eat. People saw them leaving and hastened ahead of them on foot. When he disembarked, he began to teach them many things. Every summer, I always remember there would be between 4 and 6 weeks my mother would set aside where we would gather for those 6 weeks or 4 weeks. We'd gather about once a week to have some catechetical instruction. We would have like CCD classes for just my brothers and sisters, get to know God a little bit better. And sometimes we took it with a little more joy than others, I admit, but everything came with its own nuance. I remember one particular time we came to this passage. And just when we were called together to begin this lesson, to begin to learn about what it is we were going to do for that day, I saw this passage and I saw them following Jesus around, so busy that they didn't even get to eat. And finally, he began to teach them many things. And I finally looked up and I said to my mother, I said, "You know, if I promise not to follow you around for the rest of the day, can we skip the part where you teach something and I'll just leave you alone?" She said, "No, because if I do that, you're still going to follow me around for the rest of the day, so I might as well just do this now." So we continued on anyway. Mercifully, my mother fought fast on her feet, so that was good. But there's a remarkableness to this, because we have here in this busyness, this constant busyness, this extremely busy moment, we have this moment with Jesus where he's just sent out his apostles. He sent them out to preach and say the kingdom of God is at hand, to share in all of this great mystery. The apostles have gone out two by two and they've preached the gospel. At times they were turned away, at times they were received with joy, but always going out and preaching the gospel. And they've witnessed incredible miracles at their hands. They have. They're so excited with these incredible miracles. They have gone back to Jesus and they reported all the things that they've taught, all these incredible things that have happened. And there's this great love for this. There's this great response, this great desire for this. The people are coming from all over. They're not following after, they're not chasing the Pharisees in these numbers. They're not chasing the Sadducees in these numbers. They're chasing after Jesus and his followers. They've got something that's exciting and it's swelling to this incredible busyness and number. And in the middle of all of it, he doesn't say to his apostles, "Hey, we've got a great momentum going here. Let's carry this on to the next level." He doesn't say, "We're swelling to this great point. Let's make sure that we keep a good thing going." No, he says, "Come away by yourselves and rest. Come away by yourselves so that you can rest with God." It's incredible to me. It's this curious moment because we have it in Mark of all places. And I mean that, genuinely. We have this in Mark. John is the big, he writes the big plan. You read John and you see how everything comes together the way it was designed from long ago. It's this great symphony coming together in this beautiful way of seeing the tapestry in all of its brilliant colors. Matthew is telling you of all the fulfillments. He tells you of every prophet's fulfillment, every prophet who was promised and foretold. He tells you how it all came to be through Christ. Luke reveals the great loving God, the great loving Jesus who wants to impart this incredible gift of healing. But Mark is the urgency gospel. Mark is short. He's the shortest of the four. Everything he says is such with a passion of speed. Half of his paragraphs begin with the phrase, "and immediately." Everything he did was "and immediately." It's actually my personal theory that every paragraph began with "and immediately." He just went through and edited it down later because he didn't want to sound too over the top, even though he was expressing his urgency. It was so fast-paced. And what is Mark trying to get to? He's trying to get to a crucifixion and a resurrection. Everything he does builds upwards and is shooting for this crucifixion and resurrection. And with such urgency and such pressing and everything coming together just as fast as he can make it, what does he say right in the middle? "Come away by yourselves and rest." It's remarkable. It's truly stunning. I think there's something even more powerful about the fact that Mark writes this in his gospel, that it is right there in this urgent, expressive gospel. I think it could not be a stronger reminder to all of us that there are many things that will happen in our lives, and we can get incredibly busy. There are things to keep track of, and all levels of urgency, and there are so many things that we have to make sure that we stay on top of each and every day. There's so many things we got to make sure we're keeping track of day in and day out. We're always trying to make sure that we're staying abreast of these things for the obvious reason that, you know, we don't want it to fall behind. We don't want it to overwhelm us and bury us and just have it all come crashing down on us. We have to keep up with all these things. But we still need rest. And I don't just mean the hours of sleep we get each night. But genuinely, we still need rest. We still need those opportunities to pause and allow God to speak to us, to speak to our heart, to speak to whatever it is that we need in that moment. It's an invitation to silence. Silence is hard. I'll be the first to tell you, silence is very, very difficult. It's one of those things, to step into silence is to step into this profound quiet. And when we first step into it, it might seem empty. It might seem like it needs to be filled with something. It might seem like, you know, its absence could be easily filled by good things, and so we should go fill them with those good things. But that's just our first encounter. We need to stay with it. We need to stay with it long enough to see that God wants to speak to us. To see that God wants to speak to us in such a particular way, but He won't interrupt. If we want to run off and find those great crusades of things that we need to do, He won't interrupt. If we want to run off and focus our efforts on noble, beautiful, and excellent endeavors, He won't interrupt. If we want to make sure that we get in those extra prayers that we want to get in, we got to make sure we get in that rosary, or get in that Lexio Divina, or get in that whatever that ritual prayer is that day, He won't interrupt. But He waits for that silence. He waits for that moment of quiet for us to come into that silence and allow Him to speak to us. And it's remarkable. Because what He's calling us to is to remember that He's that shepherd. To remember that He is that shepherd that makes sure there's nothing that we need. He wants to feed us those things so that we don't have to be without. It's that shepherd that speaks. That shepherd's voice that invites. That shepherd that we've been promised in this first reading of Jeremiah. And I think it's so critically beautiful and so crucially important that comes out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prays out, he says, look, there are bad shepherds. They mislead and they scatter and they do all kinds of bad things. But rest assured, God is sending us a good shepherd. Shepherd that ensure we will have no other need if we listen to Him. A shepherd that will ensure that we have no other want if we listen to Him. And that shepherd speaks, so are we there to listen? Can we hear Him? We need to step into that silence. We need to step into that silence every single day. If we can, we should be able to step into that full 5 minutes of silence each and every day. And that may not sound like much, but I challenge you to sit in silence for 5 minutes. It is a long time. And if you can do 5 minutes, it's time for 10. And if you can do 10 minutes, it's time for 15. And if you can do 15 minutes of silence, allowing God to speak to you. I would like to speak to you about the possibilities of a vocation to the religious life and or priesthood. And I'm only half joking when I say that. There's something truly incredible and profound when we allow our shepherd to speak to us. The challenge falls. Are we willing to listen?